The salvation that Jesus brings costs you your whole life. Because the things you once loved, now you hate. And the things you used to hate, now you're embracing. Isn't that true? It just turns you topsy-turvy. And the life that you then had is no good to you at all. And you pay with your whole life. That's what we call evangelically speaking. Now, if you didn't catch that, shall evil be done in a city and the Lord has not done it? And that means that everything that's going on in our society is with approval of the chief honcho. And that's hard. And it's very hard when it affects your family with a sickness, a death, a tragedy. Come on. It's extremely hard when tragedy strikes. And then we're willing to say, uh-oh, things are out of kilter, they're off tilt, God's losing. How many? No, I can't do that. How many of you know someone else who has talked that way? All right, we got the point across. And I'm not finding fault, because who can give an answer for tragedy? You know what it tells you in Proverbs? It says that when you're crying, anyone who laughs is an abomination. And it says there's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And there's a time to show remorse for tragedy in families and so forth. And we are remorseful for those kind of things. And don't take a joke to a funeral home. I was conducting a funeral in New Mexico for a friend a while back, and I announced that handkerchiefs are socially acceptable at a funeral. How many understand that? There's a reason to participate and even to show remorse. And sometimes the show of remorse is an actual comfort to the one in the tragedy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, people think that they should go up to want someone in tragedy and say, stiff upper lip, you know, and start joking and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says you are an abomination. And I wouldn't do it. And so when you're with tragedy, cry. And when you're in joy, don't cry. Then dance and have a good time in the joyful experience of sharing each other's lives. In Revelation chapter 12, we find a description, and I want to get this straight right now, of who we're talking about and who he created. In Revelation 12:9, it says, that old serpent, devil, red dragon, somebody read it. 12:9.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world.
All right, devil, Satan, old serpent, great dragon, and somewhere else it says red dragon. These are all synonymous terms. Now read that carefully until we agree. They're all the same thing. Now, do it again, Marion.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Is that okay? Does everybody agree these are synonymous terms? These are not separate entities. Now, I'll get into some separate concepts later on, but these are synonymous. These are all the same thing. All right. And whenever we run across these terms, Satan, dragon, devil, serpent, they're all speaking of this bad guy. And here's a picture of him, and I know that you're taken back with the marvelous artistry of the picture. But it's 7 heads and 10 horns, and the crowns are on his heads. You'll find one later on, 7 heads and 10 horns, crowns on his horns, not heads. But this is the devil. And this is the bad guy. Flip to your next page, please. Now that's who we are talking about. The next page is who we are not talking about. Lord, in Jesus' name, I know this is going to be hard, but I ask for the Holy Spirit to make every person be in harmony and a flow with what we're trying to head to. In Jesus' name. We're going to talk about the word Lucifer. Boy, did I get in trouble in times past when I've held that one out. We have all been taught that the Lucifer is the devil, right? Come on, how many have heard it? Lucifer's the devil. Okay? One chapter and one verse that says Lucifer's the devil. Say it real loud, Louis. Louis's been studying. There isn't any. Those who have been studying have all come to the same conclusion. So then we studied how it came about, and I'm not interested in that so much, as the fact that it has permeated and invaded the whole society of our people. And most people believe that Lucifer is the devil. How many of you have heard that the devil was originally God's choir director? How many have heard that? And that the angels sang, and he led them, and everything was going good, and then he was jealous of God's glory, and he took a third of them, and they turned with him, and they were cast down. Remember all that? Okay. There are some scriptures that can be used to support that theory. Did you hear what I said? There are some scriptures that can be used to support that theory, but that's what it is. It's a theory. And I'm going to try to show you some scriptures as to why that theory is wrong. And if you continue to hold to the Lucifer equals devil concept, you're going to miss out on some very deep Bible truths later on. I'd like to call your attention to that Jesus said that the devil would sow tares among the wheat and go his way. I'm submitting for your analysis that your mind has received the seed of God and the truth, but your mind has also received tares. And a lot of those tares come from good, religious, well-meaning people. I can't help it, Nate. I got to use you for this one. Nate's from a Mennonite background, and years ago, he was looking for the scripture that says, cleanliness is next to godliness, right, Nate? Why was that, Nate? Never mind, I caught him. Has anybody ever done that to you and you're just taking off your feet? He told us a story years ago when his mother used to wash behind his ears and she'd say, tell him, Nate.
You just scrub my ears.
And what was she saying when she'd scrub? Cleanliness is next to godliness. And she'd say, Nate, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, would you agree that his mother was trying to do right? Would you all agree to that? Loving mother? Dirty boy? But we can't find it in the Bible. It was a tear. Now, we're not saying for everybody to come dirty. But cleanliness is a social attribute. John the Baptist, eating locusts and wild honey, clothed with a leathern girdle, out standing in the mud in the Jordan River, probably didn't pass the test. How many understood what I just said? He was probably dirty when he saw the Holy Ghost like a dove coming down the light on Jesus Christ in a physical realm. Is that all right? You follow? Dirt between his toes. Now, we're not raising dirt, but I'm trying to say that is a tear. That is a thought that was placed in our minds by well-meaning, lovely, you know, and loving people who want to do right and want us to do right and teach us that doing right is godly. Now, I want to get that across. Doing right is socially acceptable. but not necessarily godly. I'll wait for some reaction on that because there ought to be some. Okay. In the Lucifer affair, turn to Isaiah 14. And somebody read verse 12, please, about Lucifer. Oh, wait a minute. While you're doing that, I did want to catch one other thought. Would you mind going back to your first page for just a minute? I have to establish this one thought before I go into Lucifer. You see the picture of the devil there, and he's drawing, what's he got his tail wrapped around?
Stars.
Where do we get that idea? Well, it's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Someone turn to it real quick about the stars of heaven. I want to show you something. Revelation 12, 4.
And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able? Did you say 13, 4?
12.
And his tail through the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born.
Okay. Now we find the stars of heaven are being taken by the angel, by the devil, and cast down. Now, most people relate that to angels, right? And why would they relate that to angels? Well, Revelation 1:20 tells you why. Turn to it, please. Why did we get the idea of the stars of the angels and the 30 angels are cast down? 1:20 will tell you. You got it? Who's got it? Read it out. This is an interpretation. Revelation 1:20.
The mystery of the seven stars with five stars on my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of seven churches, and the seven candlesticks with five stars are the seven churches.
Does that say the seven stars are the seven angels? Say yes. Yes. Does it say the seven stars or the seven angels of the seven churches, right? Okay. So if he took the stars, he must have cast down the angels. Good logic. Good logic. All right. So Michelangelo paints an angel. What's he paint? Long, yellow, golden, yellow hair. A frail, feminine body. Giant golden wings. Got the picture? Of an angel. Huh? Go to 17:1, please. Revelation 17:1. And now let's see the picture of the angel. Who's got it? Read it out.
Seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters.
All right. This one of the angels had one of the last seven vials, came and said, come here, I want to show you what happened. Now, you're going to have to just bear with me on this. In 1910, it's the end of that picture. Started in 17:1 and went to 1910. I'm not going to take time to prove it. Read it in 1910, it's still the same guy. In 1910, it's still the same angel. Did you catch what I just said? I can't take the time to prove it now, but I've told you that so you can go back and check it. In 1910, what happened? Let's get a description of this fellow. Who's got it? Read it out so I can get it on the microphone.
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren thou hast the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
All right, here's an angel, and he said he's of thy brethren, the servants, the prophets. He has the testimony of Jesus. Do angels know anything about the salvation? Do angels have the testimony of Jesus? Are angels our brethren? are angels of the brethren, the prophets. I'm talking about long-haired, golden-winged. The word angel also means messenger. And so these translations of the angel often should be rendered messenger instead of white-robed, golden-winged, golden-haired angel. And so when we hear or see the word angel, we conjure up a vision in our mind, a picture of some flying thing that comes off out of the sun or something like that and comes down and talk to us. But the Bible says the seven stars are the seven messengers to the seven churches, or ministers, or apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You follow what I'm doing on this? And somebody said, now wait a minute, boy, don't you ruin my angels. Well, now looky, doesn't the Bible say some have entertained angels unawares? And let me tell you something. If a great, big, bright, shiny angel with great, big, golden wings came down and I fed him hamburgers, I'd be awares. I wouldn't be unawares. Are you following me on this? For an angel messenger from God can be a real-life, flesh-and-blood brother, prophet, testimony of Jesus. That means he's saved, by the way. That means he was a sinner. And got his sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you following? You see what I'm doing on this? So then, let's go back and look at that picture number one again. What if we translated and said that that devil is going to get one-third of the ministry? And the ministry, one-third of the ministry, is going to fall for the love of, which is the root of all evil, and one out of three of them are going down the drain. Do you follow what I'm doing on this now, you see? Now you get a choice. You can still stick with the old idea about a golden-haired, golden-winged, white-robed, or maybe the angel is wearing a harsh after marks. And you can... Now, if you don't believe that, I'll give you another set of scriptures to prove the point. Because if I'm going to challenge tradition that much, in 22:8, it tells you again, I fell down at his first... I'm in Revelation 22:8. It says, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said, do it not. And he added to it, read it to me, 22:8. That's the last chapter of the whole Bible. Go ahead.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which
showed
me these things.
Now read one verse more.
Then said he unto me, see, thou do it not.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
For I am thy fellow servant and of thy
brethren,
the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
Worship God, not the ministry. How's that for you? Now, if you don't believe that that's one of the angels, he said he's one of the angels, and it starts out on 21:9, and there was another angel. I'm not going to go back to that, but for purpose of documentation. There are two angels here, and both have the same message, and both say that they are not curly-haired, golden-winged. They're real, live, flesh and blood. They walk, I was going to say in shoes, but at least I would assume that in our society, we'd find them in shoes. They looked like the rest of us. And we would entertain them in a manner, and their appearance would not cause any suspicion. Okay.
Would they be mortal?
If he's a fellow servant, if he's of the brethren, then he would be, yes, he would have to be mortal. Angels are mortal. Now, not all angels. Some angels are from God out of heaven, but some angels are from God out of earth. Is that too much now? They're ministers. They're God's angel to you. They're God's messenger. Anointed, of course, they'd have to be anointed with, as opposed to the minister who went to school because his mother called him. How many understood what I'm talking about there? He entered the ministry because he heard the call of his mother, as opposed to heard the call of God, as opposed to having the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, Jay.
Could God use one of us to be an angel?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at right now. I'm convinced that there are angels here. Didn't your mother ever say your mom's a little angel? Did she ever tell you that? I'm convinced they're here tonight. God's angels anointed with the word, with the message, those who will deliver you from some kind of bondage are here tonight. And you should expect that. And really you ought to expect that everywhere you go. Every time along the way. It doesn't have to be in a religious gathering. It can be at a drugstore soda fountain. How many understood that? So I don't want to just go that way either. Okay, now let's move on then to the second sheet. I want to finish this out. Lucifer. What was Lucifer the devil? Most people say yes. Now they got that idea from 300 A.D. when it was brought to us through some literature. It's a margin note in most Bibles, but it's not in the Bible. There is no evidence to prove that Lucifer is the devil. So I've been first teaching a lesson, and it took me a long time to get to the point of who we're talking about. Now I want to teach a lesson on who we're not talking about. We're not talking about Lucifer. 14:12. Who's got it? Isaiah. Have you got it?
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?
Why don't you read a while there? Keep going on.
Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend.
How many know I'm going to talk about the sides of the north in just a minute? Okay, keep going.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake kingdoms?
I want to stop there for just a minute. In connection with the scripture, all Bible students go to Ezekiel 28. I've never heard of an exception. So go to Ezekiel 28 and read that in connection with what we've been reading in Isaiah to get the same general picture of the we'll call it the traditional ideas, and then we'll look at them more carefully. These are traditionally used to describe Lucifer as being the devil. Have you got it, Mike? Have you got a King James?
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 14, or you want?
Oh, starting 11 and read around for a while.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God.
Who was full of wisdom? Of all the people you know in the Bible, who was full of wisdom? Solomon and?
Adam.
Did he know everything?
Yes.
Did he name all the animals? Even by their spirit. What else did it say about him? You were in the garden. Go ahead.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created.
All right. Who do we know who was created? Who else? Devil? Okay, keep going.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee.
Well, I guess we'll stop there. There might be more that we should talk about. All right. Lucifer was perfect from the day he was created. Was the devil perfect from the day he was created? What did Jesus say about him? You were a liar. You're a murderer from the beginning, from the time of the start. From the time when you were created, you were created. You've always been a liar and a murderer. But this Lucifer was perfect. He was in the garden. He was full of wisdom. He knew everything. He walked with God. He talked with God. He ascended and descended the stones of fire. Lord, give me wisdom on how to handle this one. It has been my privilege to teach in many, many societies and avail myself of some of their books and literature. But it should be also obvious to you that I'm a Bible teacher and my authority is in the Word of God, not the literature, the books that I pick up and study along the way and add to my library. One of the books is called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. How many have heard of it? Egyptian Book of the Dead was used by occult groups. And in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, there's a description of the Great Pyramid of Cheops, and it's called the Stones of Fire. Pyra. It's the stones of fire. And that was my first clue years ago. I didn't know what to do with it, but I knew that the Great Pyramid of Cheops in Egypt was the stones of fire. It's referred to, right? And you have ascended and descended the stones of fire.
This Bible teaching by David Ebel will continue on cassette number 2.